crystal by the beady hours crashing on my mind.
Well, blow me down if it isn't time once again for Clockwork Wireless on 90 FM. First of all, here's a message for all our long wave listeners. You can stop waving now. You know, I was just thinking, actually, you know, if it wasn't for Venetian blinds, it'd be curtains for us all, really, wouldn't it? I just think of these things sometimes. I wish I didn't. That's Bryan Adams and A Run to You. It's Clockwork Wireless on 90 FM. Terry Anderson here. Well, I wonder if you saw the survey on bathing published in many of the papers this week, claiming that the English are the dirtiest nation in Europe because, on average, we only have 2 baths a week. Well, I just don't think this survey holds water, do you? Oh, dear. I see that at the Liberal Party conference this week, David Steele finally buried the hatchet. in David Owen's back. I've got more on the Liberal Assembly later, but the funniest story of the week must be that following his latest on-court outburst of obscenities, John McEnroe intends to stand before the tennis authorities and plead temporary insanity. Temporary insanity. My word. But this story reminded me of a very deep and thoughtful joke. This is one for all smart Alex and clever dicks, really. What are the differences between psychologists, psychoanalysts, and psychiatrists? Well, I'll tell you. The answer is psychologists build castles in the air, psychoanalysts live in them, and psychiatrists collect the rent. Whew, that's deep. But we have some news just coming in. Here it comes now. The government has just announced new plans for shortening the dole queues. They're asking everyone to stand closer together. Well, in a fun-packed programme tonight, we have music from The Mission, Stevie Winwood, Elvis Costello, Martin Stevenson and the Dainties, and much, much more. We'll be looking back at the Liberal Party conference. And once again, the subject of condoms is very much apparent, I'm afraid. Things make a regular appearance on the programme. Busby Barkley and Alex Wright will bring us Clockwork Wireless news, we hope. And we have a competition where you can once again have the opportunity to win the album of your choice. And as if all this wasn't enough, when you've got rid of me, we present the surreal world of the Intrepid Birdman. It's all on Clockwork Wireless, 90 FM. The Mission with their version of a song from when I was just a little lad. I was an unwanted child, actually, you know. My parents actually wanted a puppy. In fact, once I asked my parents if I was adopted and they said yes, but they gave you back. This is Clockwork Wireless on 90FM. We've got an address you can write to. I'll be telling you about that a little bit later, and also in conjunction with the competition. But one of the reasons I find it difficult to listen to Radio 1 is because I find it rather unattractive for men aged about 40 years old to act like 12-year-olds. I mean, does it really matter whether the Pet Shop Boys are number 6 or number 7 in this week's Big Top 40? Of course, it doesn't matter a hoot, but Radio 1 DJs try to persuade us that it's all terribly important. Capital Radio is more listenable because they don't take themselves too seriously, and they do allow for their audience to have a certain degree of intelligence. But at least Radio 1 have now realised that Jimmy Savile would sound outdated even on Radio 2, and he's taken his gold lame tracksuit with him into retirement. Replacing Jimmy Savile at Radio 1 is Nicky Campbell, who is by a mile the best disc jockey on Capital Radio, and he will bring a much-needed sense of humour to Radio 1. There are changes too at LBC, where after years of complaints from listeners, they're finally changing their theme music, or station identity music bed, as they call it. You know, the thing that goes dum-dum-dum, and this has been called the Chimes of Doom, and many listeners have said that the news is often depressing enough without the lead-in music being suicidal with it. Well, they're juggling the programmes about on LBC as well, with Brian Hayes losing his Friday morning slot but gaining a Sunday show instead. Some people will say that Brian Hayes is rude, abrupt and self-opinionated. LBC management say he's hard-hitting, abrasive and open-minded. Well, let's listen in now and judge for ourselves to the Brian Hates programme.
Yes, next caller, please.
Brian, I was listening to your caller on the subject of the YTS.
The
youth training scheme.
Yes, that's better. I don't really think you can expect people to understand what you're talking about if you use abbreviations that you haven't at first explained.
No. Sorry. Well, as I was saying about the youth training scheme...
Yes, the youth training scheme.
Well, I think they're a good idea because they create jobs which might otherwise not exist.
Yes, well, that doesn't actually answer any of the points that he made, does it? So it doesn't appear that you were listening properly, or maybe you're simply deaf, but in any case, your argument is a rather stupid one, and you also sound fat and ugly as well. So let's not waste any more time talking to obese monstrosities and take our next call, which is from Harry.
Hello, Brian. I'd like to disagree with your argument in favour of sanctions against South Africa.
Well, you can't simply disagree with my argument unless you have no brain.
Well, I do disagree with it.
Well, then that proves you have no brain, and phoning up this programme only highlights your brainless condition.
Oh, I see. Thank you very much.
Thanks for your call. Next is Marjorie.
Yes, hello, Brian. I'd like to agree with you.
What?
Well, I'd like to agree with everything you said.
Well, what do you mean by agree, exactly?
Well, I think you're absolutely right.
Bugger. Next is Roger.
Hello, Brian. I'd like to say that you are the most pig-headed, self-opinionated prat of a broadcaster I've ever had the misfortune of listening to.
Are we related in some way?
No.
That sounded familiar, that's all. Well, that's a fair point, but I'm afraid I'm going to have to press this button, which sends an electric current down the line, causing you a mild but fatal electric shock. New idea of mine.
Thank you very much, Brian.
Well, that's not the real Brian Hayes, but Radioactive's all-too-real impersonation. As I said last week, Radioactive is... Radioactive is well worth listening to Radio 4 Saturday lunchtime at 12:25, and it's repeated, I think, on Monday evenings. We get sent quite a few records each week by eager record companies. Some of these records are good, some not so good, but this next record is absolutely excellent. It's my favourite single of the moment, and once again, bringing you the best of the independent sector. This group's called The Shaymen, and this is Christopher Mayhew Said.
I think this is the most interesting thing. Of heavenliness, strange excursions in time.
Where the smile that says hey,
excellent single. It's The Shaymen, Christopher Mayhew said, a new single. It's Clock Clock Wireless on 90FM. We have an address that you can write to if you want to enter some of the competitions that we run. And you'll need this address also if you just want to write in for a dedication or whatever. The address is Clockwork Wireless, Suite 14, Creasy House, Tower Bridge Road, London, SE14SL. And as always, I'll spell that out a bit more clearly a bit later on. Well, fame, you may agree, can be a very transient visitor. One day the world's press are snapping at your heels, devouring your every word with an avaricious slurp. Photographers point their lenses at you, and flash guns pop like Roman candles on Guy Fawkes night. Then, suddenly, they're gone, in pursuit of another celebrity, enjoying their own brief flirtation with stardom. And overnight you become yesterday's man. Well, such is the case in America, where Oliver North's star has crash-landed rather than just waned. This week, a Californian toy importer cancelled an order for 20,000 Ollie North dolls after only 200 people sent in orders for them, despite nationwide advertising. So it's thank you and goodnight, Ollie. I imagine even less orders would have been taken for David Owen dolls at the Liberal Party conference, which took place at Harrogate last week, unless perhaps they might have bought them to stick pins in. The official conference gazette at Harrogate invited Liberal delegates to guess the identity of a certain charismatic politician who had been the youngest member in a Labour government, but had used his wife's American money to leave Labour and set up a new party, which, in spite of moving to the right with the support of the Daily Mail, subsequently failed. Well, the answer turned out to be Sir Oswald Mosley, who formed a fascist party before the Second World War and who spent the war years in prison because of his links with the Nazis. I don't know who you think they were referring to, but it wasn't Dr. Owen. The competition comes next, so pen and paper needed, or possibly a tape machine, because there are going to be mystery voices to identify. But another one of my personal favourites now, from the same northeast stable as the Kane Gang and Prefab Sprout. This is Martin Stevenson and the Dainties from the excellent and varied album Boat to Bolivia, and this track is called Crocodile Crier.
Please.
Martin Stevenson and the Dainties, one of my favourite bands, Crocodile Crier, from their album Boat to Bolivia. It's Clockwork Wireless on 90FM. More now from the Liberal Conference. The Union of Liberal Students clearly felt that the Assembly should have considered a different kind of coalition as they hit on the idea of dishing out free of charge packs of three condoms kindly donated by a leading manufacturer who handed over more than 3,000 packets of three for the Liberal students to disperse amongst the delegates. I shouldn't really say which manufacturer donated the condoms, but it brought a whole new meaning to the phrase, I'll be there in a jiffy. That's the clean version of that. Well, now it's competition time on Clockwork Wireless. Help it. Do it yourself, jingles. Help immeasurably if I actually queued up the tape here. Right, what you've got to do is listen to these three voices that I'm going to play for you in a moment. And if you can identify them, write the three names down and send them off with your own name and address. It's quite important, obviously. To Clockwork Wireless, put Terry's Competition or something at the top. Clockwork Wireless, Suite 14, Creasy House, Tower Bridge Road, London, SE14SL. And as I say, what you have to do is identify these three voices.
And also hoping to get your response to our phone vote proposition this evening. Britain should go back to a selective system of grammar scores and secondary modern scores. Do you agree or disagree? The phone vote line is open right now. Just follow the instructions on the tape.
Right, let me see. Or use Luther Vandross in at number 15, Carol Fielkwin at number 14, LL Cool J in at number 12 and over the top of them. Newcomer number 4 straight to number 11.
A charity premieres tomorrow night at the Birmingham Odeon, at the Cardiff Canon, at the London Canon and the Manchester Canon. All proceeds from the premiere going to charity. Tickets are £3 and over 15s only.
Well, if you can identify who those three were, then stick them off on a bit of paper, send them off to me, and you could win. A small clue is that they're all sort of veteran broadcasters, and they're each on three different radio stations and on at the weekend. That's about all I'm telling you. If we've got time a bit later, I'll play that little snatch of tape again, see if you can identify them. Incidentally, if you also want to include in the competition entry a dedication or whatever, then I'll do those as well, of course. Also, I'd be interested to know if you want to tell us what sort of music you like, your favourite groups or artists, whatever. It's always interesting to know what sort of things you like. And you can win an album of your choice, so say which album you'd like if you win, and we'll draw the winning letter or card out of the metaphorical hat next week. So the address once again, a bit more slowly and spelling it out for you. Clockwork Wireless, as I say, put Terry's Competition or something at the top. Suite 14, Creasy House. Now, Creasy is spelt C-R-E-A-S-Y. C-R-E-A-S-Y. Creasy House. Tower Bridge Road, London, SE14SL. That's the address. Well, this time next year, the Olympic Games will have just got underway in South Korea, political boycotts allowing. Each time the Olympics are held, new competitions turn up with only the vaguest connection to real sport, synchronised swimming being the most absurd example. Well, we can now exclusively reveal that Grandstand have won the rights to televise the first Olympic novel writing steeplechase.
And now it's time for novel writing, which today comes from the West Country, from Dorset.
Hello and welcome to Dorchester, where a very good crowd has turned out to watch local boy Thomas Hardy write his new novel, The Return of the Native, on this very pleasant July morning. This will be his 11th novel and the 5th of the very popular Wessex novels. And here he comes! Here comes Hardy, walking out toward his desk. He looks confident, he looks relaxed, very much the man in form, as he acknowledges this very good-natured bank holiday crowd. And the crowd goes quiet now as Hardy settles himself down at the desk, body straight, shoulders relaxed, pen held lightly but firmly in the right hand. He dips the pen in the ink and he's off! It's the first word, but it's not a word! Oh no, it's a doodle way up on the top of the left-hand margin. It's a piece of meaningless scribble and he signed his name underneath it. Oh dear, what a disappointing start. But he's off again and here he goes, the first word off Thomas Hardy's new novel at 10:35 on this very lovely morning. It's three letters, it's the definite article and it's the Dennis.
Well, this is true to form. No surprises there. He started 5 of his 11 novels to date with a definite article. We've had 2 of them with it. There's been 1 but, 2 ats, 1 on and a Dolores. Though that, of course, was never published.
I'm sorry to interrupt you there, Dennis, but he's crossed it out. Thomas Hardy here on the first day of his new novel has crossed out the only word he's written so far, and he's gazing off into space. Oh, dear, he's signed his name again.
It looks like Tessa de d'Urberville's all over again.
But he's down again and writing, Dennis. He's written the again, he's crossed it out again, and he's written A. And there's a second word coming up straight away, and it's sat. A sat, doesn't make sense. A Saturday. It's a Saturday, and the crowd are loving it. They're really enjoying this novel. And it's afternoon, a Saturday afternoon, it's a confident beginning. And he's straight on to the next word, it's in. A Saturday afternoon, November. November spelled wrong, he's left out the second E. But he's not going back, it looks as though he's going for the sentence. And it's the first verb coming up, it's the first verb of the novel. And it's was, and the crowd are going wild. A Saturday afternoon in November was, and a long word here. A pro, is it approval? No, it's approaching. A Saturday afternoon in November was approaching. And he's done the definite article, the again. And he's writing fluently, easily, with flowing strokes of the pen as he comes up to the middle of this first sentence. And with this 11th novel well underway and the prospects of a good day's writing ahead, back to the studio.
Great line that is even in a perfect world where everyone is equal, I'd still own the film rights and be working on the sequel. sort of Thatcherite philosophy there. Well, speaking of the literary world, this week I've been reading an exciting new crime novel. It's got a real surprise ending. In fact, the murderer is someone from another book. It's a real surprise ending. Back, perhaps, unfortunately, to the subject of condoms, I see that an impending legal action has forced the editor of a new satirical magazine to abandon his plans to enrich the lives of his readers. This new magazine, called The Truth, which is aimed at competing with Private Eye, contains an advert for Philosex. It's a fictitious product containing three condoms, which clip onto your personal organiser. Everyone thought this was an ace joke until it was realised that somebody has actually marketed a set of condoms compatible with a Philofax for the yuppie in a hurry, if you see what I mean. Philofax, who were most definitely not amused, have taken out an injunction preventing the marketing of this product, the name of which I cannot say, as this is a family programme. But many people think that Philofax have just been invented for the upwardly mobile, or indeed for characters in soap operas to carry around in order to give them credibility. But it's interesting to note that Philofax were originally intended for clergymen and army officers. But my favourite comment on the subject comes from Clive James, who says, "Philofaxes are fundamentally for neat people, which is an anomaly because all the pages fall out," which sums the whole thing up wonderfully, I think. Incidentally, giving you the address a little bit earlier on, apparently you can now write in for an information pack as well, which tells you all about us, everything you never wanted to know. And the address is exactly the same: Clockwork Wireless, Suite 14, Creasy House, Tower Bridge Road, London, SE1 4SL. Well, I'm afraid we return once more to the subject of condoms after this track from the new album from the Kane Gang. We've played a few tracks from the album already. Here's another excellent cut from a truly consistent and outstanding album, Kane Gang, from the album Miracle. This track's called Take Me to the World.
There was a time of inner
certainly one of my favourite albums released so far this year. That's the Cane Gang and their album Miracle, a track called Take Me to the World. Referring back to those information packs that you can now send in for, would help us greatly if you enclosed a stamped addressed envelope, addressed to yourself of course, for us to send them back to you in. And I gather that at the moment they're just standard issue, but sometime in the near future we hope to be able to issue you a Philofax compatible information pack. My word, that's something to look forward to. Well, for some reason, both clerical matters and the subject of condoms crop up on this programme, but never have the two combined in such a bizarre way as in this story from the Lagos Weekend magazine. It proves conclusively that the values in life can be very different in cultures other than our own. Apparently, Mrs. Marina Orlade, manageress of the Happy Times Hotel, whether it's a hotel or not, I think is subject to some discussion here. But anyway, it's in Morocco, Lagos, and she spoke in defence of her employee, a Miss Lully Lully Kapu. And she said, Lully Lully is a very good prostitute. When the Reverend Ilya Kaiwo insisted on wearing a condom, Lully Lully said that as a good clean girl, she was insulted and refused him. The Reverend became angry and shouted at her, so Lully Lully hit him and they fought all the way down the stairs and into the street, whereupon Lully Lully's brothers chased the Reverend out of town, although he was not wearing his trousers. She says it will be some time before we hear from him again, and I imagine that it will be. I think someone should tell the Archbishop of Canterbury immediately about the vicar in Lagos. He sounds more like Brian Ricks, actually, than a vicar. Well, I don't actually get on very well with phones. Terry Anderson and phones do not combine together very well. My phone at home is often going very wonky, as anyone who phones me up knows. However, on Thursday night, an incident occurred that had nothing to do with a fault on my phone, but it is in fact a lesson to us all. Someone I know phoned me, but they weren't phoning me from their home. Now, that's important, as you'll hear. They phoned me at about 8 o'clock. On Thursday evening, and after about 5 minutes, we said goodbye, like one does. Unfortunately, they hadn't replaced their receiver properly, and the line was still connected. So I was sort of sitting there going, hello, hello, oi, the phone's still off, and all this sort of business. And I could hear their TV on in the background, and people talking. It was most interesting, and in the end, I was sort of shouting down the phone, oi, turn, put it back on the receiver. But to no avail. So I thought, well, what can I do? So I lined up my stereo and I queued up some Bryan Adams and some Bon Jovi and stuff. I was blasting that down the phone, but it was still no good. Well, this went on for about an hour or so. So I thought, well, this is not very good at all, because I actually wanted to make some phone calls. So I dashed round to a phone box that's near me and I asked the operator what we could do. And they said, well, there's nothing that you can do until the morning when the engineers arrive. I thought, this is actually terrible. You know, I was sitting there listening into this extraordinary business going on at the other end of the phone, but they couldn't hear me. Anyway, the next morning, cut this rather long story short, I picked up the phone and we were still connected. So I went back round to the phone box and contacted the engineers, and eventually they cut off the line from the exchange. But we worked out that, bearing in mind this fellow wasn't calling me from home, and obviously I didn't know what number he was phoning from. That's the point. But he was calling me from actually quite a distance away, and the call had cost the person who phoned me nearly £70, because we were connected for over 12 hours. And I was talking to the operator when I went round to check up on this the night before, and he told me a legendary story amongst phone operators about a fellow who split up from his girlfriend and then went on holiday for 2 weeks, and meanwhile his girlfriend goes round to his flat and exacts her revenge by letting herself in and phoning up the speaking clock in New York and then leaving the phone off the hook. And this chap comes back from his holiday to find he's been connected to New York for 2 weeks and has a phone bill for nearly £7,000. So I asked the operator, I was having a chat with him, I had nothing better to do. I said, what if I sort of phoned Australia, accidentally left the phone off the hook, leaving immediately to go abroad for 6 months? And the operator said that I'd come back to a bill for over £100,000 and I'd have to pay it. In fact, you are legally obliged to pay this. And I thought it was an absolutely hideous thought that you'd have to sell your house to pay your phone bill. But apparently there is actually no means to automatically cut you off if you don't receive the don't replace the receiver correctly, which is something of a salutary lesson to us all, I think, and it rather clears my obsession. Another one of my obsessions, which is that I always double check the line when I've made a phone call to make sure that the line is cleared. And also, last thing at night, just before I go to bed, I always lift the phone up to make sure that the line is clear. People laugh at me about this, but now suddenly I feel this is okay after all. So it's a lesson to us all. Unless you want a phone bill for several thousand pounds, make sure that phone's back on the hook. Coming up next, it's so hot, it's being compiled at this very moment. It's Clockwork Wireless News, coming up after Stevie Winwood and While You See a Chance.
Are you still free? From news sources around the world, Clockwork Wireless brings you all the news you haven't heard.
A lot of the ITV franchises, the contracts to supply television to a region, are coming up for offer in the next couple of weeks. There should be more excitement than usual, as at the moment, ITV is losing its share of viewers and the major stations are receiving a lot of criticism. Amongst the contenders for a franchise, there is Virgin Broadcasting, owned by Richard Branson, the condom magnate. They already own major parts of Radio Mercury and Radio Piccadilly, as well as a satellite channel. In addition, Virgin is also trying to put together a national commercial radio station. The franchise shake-up has also brought up the question of privatising Channel 4 and of having commercial programmes at night on BBC TV.
The BBC is asking the Home Office for permission to run a TV equivalent of the World Service. They plan to have a 24-hour news, drama and current affairs channel transmitted by satellite. Revenue would come from the news, which would be offered to other broadcasters to use in their shows. The World Service is also about to start the first pan-global soap opera to be called Citizens. Listeners in the UK will be able to get the twice-weekly soap on Radio 4.
From November, Londoners will be able to buy the latest in video and CD technology. The Philips Combi is a video CD player capable of playing conventional CDs, the old-fashioned LaserVision video, and the new 5, 8 and 12-inch CD video discs. The new discs vary in playing time between 8 and 60 minutes, with digital sound and a high-quality video track. The only unanswered question now is how much will it cost? If it's cheap enough, it could spell the end of conventional CD and bring a whole new life to the singles and albums market. Philips are also planning on using the technology to produce a talking in-car navigation system. You just put in the disc for the town you're in, and the system will give you a talking map to direct you from A to B.
Another traffic control system is being tested at the moment in London. Sensors are attached to traffic lights or at the roadside, and each car in the system has a small computer fitted. When you start your journey, you program in the postcode of where you're going to. As you pass each sensor, the car tells it the postcode of the destination. The sensor checks with the central computer for any hold-ups and tells you to turn left, right or whatever. The clever bit is that the computer keeps track of each car, and if a route becomes congested, the car takes longer to travel between sensors, the computer will tell following cars to take an alternative route, thus easing the congestion and spreading the load evenly over all main roads. Philips say that with clever programming, they should be able to help traffic move through London some 30% more quickly than at present.
And finally, if you've seen those dancing raisins on the TV, I'm sure that you'll be fascinated by the latest Del Monte special offer. In their own words, you can get a plastic version of the raisins perched on a plastic sandwich in a custom-made lunchbox that plays 15 seconds of I Heard It Through the Grapevine. Well, Mrs. Del Monte, if you're out there, the guys from Clockwork Wireless, we say no.
Clockwork Wireless News. Don't forget where you heard it first.
Clockwork Wireless News is compiled and presented by Busby Barkley and Alex Wright, a Clockwork Wireless production. This week's prize for the most worthless letter written to a newspaper goes to Mr. G.N. North of Worthing, Sussex, who wrote to the Daily Express, "Dear Sir, in view of our latest poor showing at the World Athletics Championships, I would like to put a proposal for the training of our athletes. Instead of giving millions in aid to countries like Ethiopia, Sudan, Senegal and others, why not build training centres? Most so-called poor third world countries appear to be able to train and send athletes all over the world." G.N. North, Worthing, Sussex. So, Bob Geldof got it wrong. Instead of raising money to stop people dying, apparently we should let them starve and spend the money building athletic stadia instead. Of course, why didn't we realise this before? What an absolute wally. This week's I'm All Right Jack award goes without a doubt to G.N. North of Worthing, Sussex.
We will still be strangers when we
That's a good old good one, as they say. That's the Smithereens and Strangers When We Meet. That's their new single. Good band, Smithereens. It's Clockwork Wireless on 90 FM. And coming up in not too short a time now, the Intrepid Birdman. The Intrepid Birdman. And here he is at my left shoulder.
Hello.
Hello there.
How are you, little boy?
Very well.
I'm jolly pleased to hear it. I'm just talking through Hiller's tights at the moment. I don't know whether you've noticed this rather interesting new device that's been attached to the microphones. It's a pop shield. It stops people going like that. It's very effective.
Yes, you've just very clearly shown.
Yes. Strangely enough, the BBC gave an enormous amount of expense to actually buy this specially acoustically treated laminated debris. I'm not quite sure what they call it. It's a sort of nylon screen or whatever. But we found that Hiller's tights work much better, actually. It's very effective.
Admirable, yes. Yeah. I can hardly take my eyes off the microphone.
And coming up on this week's Intrepid Birdman Show, how to become a pop star. Well, we did part one of this some time ago, and now part two. How to become a pop star, the technical bit. So stand by and wait for that, why don't you?
I can hardly contain myself.
I'm sure you can't. No.
I'll manage it somehow.
I'm sure, yeah.
Okay, that's the Intrepid Birdman coming up in a little while, on Clockwork Wireless. Well, with the new autumn schedules falling into place now, many old TV favourites are returning to the proverbial screen. The other evening, BBC's arts programme, Omnibus, spent an earnest 50 minutes chasing Bob Dylan across several continents trying to secure an interview. Mr Dylan decided that he would not cooperate, and so the programme was devoted mainly to the reporter getting a brush off at every opportunity. This could have resulted in an extremely boring programme, and unfortunately did just that. When the reporter Christopher Sykes did get to ask Bob Dylan where he got the ideas for his songs and why did he write them, Mr. Dylan replied, "I just write them because no one says you can't." Well, inspiration is a wonderful thing, although I'm rather prejudiced in that I think Bob Dylan is the most overrated artist in the history of pop music, a career built around maybe three decent songs, but there you are, 25 years of musical history dismissed in 10 seconds, what do I know? But on a similar theme, it's worth noting that the new season of the South Bank Show with Melvyn Bragg includes a documentary on the Smiths, that's on Sunday, October the 18th, and most importantly, an interview with Suzanne Vega, which will be broadcast on Sunday November the 1st. But ITV on Thursday saw the return of the always interesting programme This Week. John Taylor followed a group of young British holidaymakers to Mallorca to see if they were all as rowdy as has been reported. They were. The only two sober Britons he found were in jail, and one of these, Hugh Kavanagh of Blackburn, told John Taylor his story. He said, "The day before we left England was my birthday, so I got drunk on the Sunday night. We went into a pub from 6 to 8 on the Monday, had a few drinks at the airport, that's where I bought the box of wine. We had drinks on the plane and arrived on Tuesday morning, so I asked the taxi driver to take me to an all-night bar. Stayed there till 8 in the morning drinking vodka." That's the end of the quote. But the next day, a taxi driver was hit on the head with a brick hidden in a sock, and Hugh Kavanagh joined the 350 other British visitors who have been arrested in the Magaluf area alone in Mallorca this year. And we saw groups of young men lurching about the streets, singing a not-too-demanding song, which went, "Sangria, sangria, 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 sangria." And those who were not joining in probably had difficulty remembering the words. It just seems terribly sad to me that our most famous export from this country is football hooligans, whether they are following a soccer team abroad or creating mayhem in the resorts of Mallorca. Still, as I say, what do I know? Here we go, here we go, here we go. Here we go with a rerun of the competition. There are three names to identify here. If you can spot who they are, write them down on a piece of paper. And I'll give you the address after you've heard the three mystery voices.
And also hoping to get your response to our phone vote proposition this evening. Britain should go back to a selective system of grammar scores and secondary modern scores. Do you agree or disagree? The phone vote line is open right now. Just follow the instructions on the tape.
Let me see. Or use Luther Vandross in at number 15, Carol Fielkwin at number 14, LL Cool J in at number 12 and over the top of them, newcomer number 4 straight to number 11.
A charity premieres tomorrow night at the Birmingham Odeon, at the Cardiff Canon, at the London Canon and the Manchester Canon. All proceeds from the premiere going to charity. Tickets are £3 and over 15s only.
If you can identify those three voices, Clockwork Wireless, Suite 14, Creasy House, Tower Bridge Road, London, SE1 4SL, win an album of your choice. Intrepid Birdman next. I hope you can join me next week at 7. Bye-bye.
A remarkable performance.
Oh, that was a performance?
Good evening and welcome to the Intrepid Birdman Show. If you caught it last week, that will certainly teach you not to go lying around in the damp grass all night. In a special programme for the deaf, I was going to read to you from my forthcoming book, Learning to Read Broil. Broil? I'm sorry, I'll just feel that again. Ah yes, Yearning to Breed Blails. But instead I thought, let's do part two of our expose of the pop industry. Yes, in this week's brain-numbing episode, we'll take the lid off the world of pop and rock. How to do it yourself. Plus, of course, our regular features, the Sunday Moan, great moments in British history, and Hilly's Hot Gossip. But first, let's take a listen to a record produced by Michael Jackson's slightly less talented younger brother all those years ago.
What the hell is wrong with you tonight? I can't seem to say or do the right thing. Wanted to be sure you're feeling right. Wanted to be sure we want the same thing. She said, I can't believe it. You can't possibly.
How to become a rock star overnight. Last week we looked at the important aspects of grooming and personal hygiene. This week we're going to have a look at producing the record itself, the music and how to do it.
Firstly, you've got to write that song. Well, lyrics aren't important. You can get by with almost any banal old rubbish. In fact, in some cases, you can get away with no lyrics at all. Take a listen to this recent example. Notice the constant repetition of "What have you done for me lately?" and a few "ooh, ooh, 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 yes." Well, of course, the beat is all important in records of this kind. The words don't mean a thing at all. It does help to have a very famous older brother who's also in the industry, but you can get by without. We'll show you how just after the next record.
Now
Hello and welcome to our continuing course on how to become a pop star almost overnight. Well, we've looked at the song, and now, if you must insist, let's look in detail at the lyrics. What should they be about? The obvious choice has got to be, well, bonking, really. Most songs have this at their core, be it a bonk lost, a bonk gained, or even a bonk somewhere in the offing. The absence of a bonk also has its merits. Or even the yearning for a jolly good bonk to come. But to be successful, the essential bonk must be in evidence. If you're shy or not sure how to phrase it, try alluding to it with some obscure reference, like...
Let me inside you.
Or something like this.
But I'm
there can't be anything ruder than that. Or can there? Failing all inspiration, go for total nonsense. Try something like do-do-do-dooby-do-ron, none but the lonely. It worked for somebody, it might work for you. It's good enough for a last resort. Also, learn the art of the pretentious big beginning. Nobody ever listens to the rest of the record, and the big finish or the slow fade gives the disc jockey plenty of time to waffle. Disc jockeys like nothing more than waffling, and it's only polite to be silent for a minute or two just to give them their chance. You can be sure you won't get any airplay otherwise. Pandering to disc jockeys isn't a bad ploy anyway. Songs about radio disc jockeys and the like are bound to get at least one good airing on the wireless.
Somebody told her that there was a place like
welcome to the penultimate part of Do It Yourself Become a Pop Star Overnight. The production of a song in the studio is a doddle, really. Instruments are no longer played by musicians, they're played by engineers. And the device that's made all this possible and life so much easier for the talentless but otherwise suitable pop embryo is the digital sampler. Yes, with this amazing device, all the hard graft of old, dead, and great superstars can be stolen for the advancement of your own career. And the way it works is quite simple. Play into it the greatest drum sound of Ginger Baker, Eric Clapton's best pluck, Charlie Parker's prize pop, or any single note judged to be a world beater, then spend 6 months juggling it around in a bloody great computer. Most of the recently successful number ones from hitherto unheard-of lovelies use this technique. The trouble is, so many people are stealing the same notes that almost everything now sounds the same throughout. People are even stealing their own digital samples without even realizing it. It's a jungle out there. Of Do It Yourself Become a Pop Star, we'll take our student superstar out into the real world and show you how it's done. Stand by for that just shortly.
In 1965, Vietnam seemed like just another foreign war, but it wasn't. It was different in many ways, and so were those who did the fighting. In World War II, the average age of the combat soldier was 26. In Vietnam, he was 19. In Vietnam, he was 19. In Vietnam, he was 19. In Vietnam, he was 19.
The heaviest fighting of the past 2 weeks continued today, 25 miles northwest of Saigon.
I wasn't really sure what was going on.
19. In Vietnam, the combat soldier typically served a 12-month tour of duty, but was exposed to hostile fire almost every day. 19.
In Saigon, a U.S. military spokesman said today more than 700 enemy troops were killed last week in that sensitive border area. Throughout all of South Vietnam, the enemy lost a total of 2,689 soldiers.
He wasn't even able to stun us.
What a marvelous day it's been out there today. England resumed this morning with an overnight total of 7. Gao was supposed to go for 3, then Gadding 5, Botham 4, Dagenet without scoring, bringing the total up to a miserly 19, then a 19, 19, then a 19, 19.
19.
19.
Oh, there's a bus just going down the road, turning left at traffic lights, I think. Oh, yes, it's number 19.
19.
I just said that. Who let that woman in here?
In the fifth test, England scored 202 in their second innings, which is an average of just under 19. The West Indies scored 346.
The only batsman able to cope with this attack was Chris Broad, who adopted a new stance.
Side on, side on.
According to a Veterans Administration study, half of the Vietnam combat veterans suffer from what psychiatrists call post-traumatic stress disorder. Many vets complain of alienation, rage, or guilt. Some succumb to suicidal thoughts. 8 to 10 years after coming home, almost 800,000 men are still fighting the Vietnam War. Welcome.
I wasn't really sure what was going on.
Hello, good evening, and welcome to the final part of Do It Yourself, Become a Pop Star, Almost Overnight. You'll remember that last week we sent Eric the Sheep to the Boris Doppelganger School of Grooming and Elocution. We'll just pop down and see how he's getting on. Boris, did you find it a bit of a disadvantage working with the quadruped?
No, not at all. It was perfect.
Really?
Yes, yes.
Oh,
yes.
Jolly good.
Some of our best pop stars are sheep, you know.
Really?
Yes.
Oh, do tell me, which of our recently famous pop stars was in fact a sheep then?
Brian Ferry. Remember?
Yes, well, I suppose that explains
Virginia Blaine. Yes, that's right.
Yes, yes. I'm sure it does.
Exactly.
Anyway, look, I gather that Eric's ready now.
Yes.
Should we take him down to the studio and see how it all goes together?
Why not?
Super.
I have
great.
An engineer standing by.
Oh, thanks very much. Okay, then. See you there.
Okay,
bye, Boris.
See you down there. Bye.
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 Here we are in the studio, and we're about to get stuck into the most exciting part of do-it-yourself pop starring. Yes, Eric's going to record his first song. Okay, Eric, away you go. Thanks. Well, that's all we really need from Eric, just that one bleat. And their engineers are now going to produce the pop song. It's quite simple. They've been working on the backing tracks for the last month, pinching all the best bits from everybody else. Now we're going to put it together as a song, and let's roll it, guys. That's a wonderfully pretentious talker. I'm sure I've heard it somewhere before, but I just can't put my finger on it. And lo and behold, look, they've left a nice long piece here for me to natter right the way through. It's absolutely incredible. They've pandered beautifully. Okay, Eric, really go for it. Let's have your best bleat. Me is, I really can't imagine how they managed to get the whole of the Isley Brothers into the studio, let alone get them into the studio to put down a track for Eric's latest record. It's incredible, isn't it? I'm really knocked out by this. This is going to be next week's number one, I'm sure of it. About the only thing really that's missing is the Duane Eddy guitar solo. Oh yeah, there it is. Incredible, but there, unfortunately, we have to leave our do-it-yourself spot for one more week. Well, in a future edition, we'll be showing you how to have your first nervous breakdown and plastic surgery for beginners. But until then, here's a record from a sheep that made it many years ago and is still going, still pretty damn strong.
Mama says the truth is all. interesting to think, Henry, that once upon a time we should have been burnt at the stake as wizards for this experiment.
Doctor, I think the heart is beating. Look, it's beating. But the rhythm of the beat is uneven. Increase the saline solution. Is there any life yet?
No, not life itself yet. This is only the smell. This action only responds when the current is applied.
We must be patient. The human heart is more complex than any other part of the body. Look, the beat is increasing.
Yes. Stop.
Shall I increase the current?
This heart is useless. I must have another. And it must be sound and young. Carl.
You must go to your friend at the accident hospital.
What we need is a female victim of sudden death. Can you do it?
You promised me 1,000 crowns. It will be well worth it when the Baron will pay.
Yes, yes. Go and get it.
I'll try.
Always accidental deaths occurring?
Always.
Let you fall.
will be ready.
Isn't it amazing, Henry, that lying here within this column is an artificially developed human brain? Each cell, each convolution ready, waiting for life to come. Look, the storm is coming up over the mountains. It will be here soon.
The kites! Are the kites ready?
Yes!
Then send them up as soon as the wind rises. Hurry, hurry!
The kites, get them ready!
Over men and horses, hoops and garters, lastly through a hogshead of real fire. In this way, Mr. K will challenge the world. The celebrated Mr. K performs his feat on Saturday at Bishop's Gate. The Hendersons will dance and sing as Mr. Kite flies through the ring. Don't be late. Messrs. K and H assure the public their production will be second to none. And of course, Henry the Horse dances the war. K performs his tricks without a sound, and Mr. H will demonstrate 10 somersets he'll undertake on solid ground. Thing being some days in preparation, a splendid time is guaranteed for all. And tonight Mr. Kite is topping the bill.
Terribly sorry, but the old super quiz has lapsed a little bit. Owing to a bit of a problem in our postal department, we haven't been able to deal with them for the last couple of weeks. However, next week I will be reading out the enormous postbag competition winners from the last 3 weeks. Okay, right. This week, a brand spanking new super quiz, since the last one has actually been won. And it concerns two rich industrialists. We'll call them Mr. A and Mr. B. They're sitting on either side of a square table. Mr. A puts an ordinary cigar on the table, just an ordinary straightforward cigar, and Mr. B puts a second similar cigar on the table as well. They continue doing this, and the winner was the one who put the last cigar on the table, making sure that no two cigars touched each other. And we shall assume for the purpose of this test that all players have an unlimited supply of identical cigars. So, who was the winner? Which one was the last man to put a cigar on the table, making sure that no cigars touched each other? Okay, there you go. That's it. The end of the super quiz. Answers as usual to Clockwork Wireless, Suite 14, Queasy House, Towerbridge Road, London, SE14SL. Just look, we knew it would happen. No sooner do we get 24-hour television after years of asking for it than it is proven beyond doubt that the TV critics were right all along. Yes, 24 hours of bland, boring rubbish. Not only is the complete world dustbin of rubbish hurled at our screen, but worse than that, normal viewing times are padded out to spread the half-reasonable programmes left over the entire 24 hours. Why in the name of God, when British television is acknowledged throughout the world to be of the best overall content and quality, are we lumbered with these ghastly foreign imports? Spanish soap operas, endless Australian ones, Kiwi films, American mini-dramas. Good God, the list is endless. But for sheer brass neck, Channel 4 have given us Japanese quiz shows in Japanese. And worse, Japanese sing-along shows, too. The mind boggles at the sheer nerve of their programme directors. We can only manage 4 hours. You might as well just stick it all together in one lump and we listen to the wireless for the rest of the time. Really makes me sick.
blossom fails to bloom the season. Promise not to stay.
In British history.
Yes, we now visit the last moments of Charles Peace, world-renowned Victorian cat burglar, as he dies horribly on the scaffold. Oh, bad luck, Charles. Well, nobody lives forever. If anyone can follow that, then I'm sure Hilly can, and here she is with her world-renowned and extremely famous hot gossip. So, look out!
This week's Hot Gossip takes an introspective look into the physiques and wrinkles of our aging pop heroes. Jacko and Jagger ought to take some tips from Freddie Mercury and save thousands between them. Boy George hasn't got a hope of transforming himself into a Rambo type, whatever the cost. Cliff can't hide his wrinkles any longer, and we hear how even good old Elton has to fork out good money for sex with teenage boys. I suppose you're only as old as the one you feel after all.
I'm the great pretender.
As Freddie Mercury celebrated his 41st birthday in queenly style on the island of Ibiza, flamenco dancers whirled, fireworks blazed, and the London Symphony Orchestra accompanied. He tucked into a 10-foot-high cake and sang from his forthcoming album. The mayor of the town couldn't understand all this bohemian rhapsody and is convinced that all the English are completely bonkers. Our outrageous muscle man has, meanwhile, been offered the starring role in a £3 million musical production of the 1920s cult sci-fi film called Metropolis. Freddie will play an old, mad, eccentric scientist in the show, to be seen next year in London. Michael Jackson rumours have reached ludicrous proportions, and despite his hundreds of millions of pounds, plastic surgery cannot rid him of his weirdo wimp image. Black leathers cannot hide the fact that our young stud hasn't got a decent muscle in the whole of that 5-foot body of his, but it's amazing what special effects can do these days. As we discover that in his latest secret film project with Steven Spielberg, he plays a robot, a futuristic fighter pilot, a Maserati and a spaceship. We also learn that after only 29 years, he has finally got the urge to lose his virginity and find out what it is he's been singing about all these years.
A lot of people misunderstand me. That's because they don't know me at all.
A Rolling Stone gathers no wrinkles is obviously not the case, as 44-year-old Mick Jagger found out to the cost of £60,000. He was naturally fuming when he saw the first version of his video to his new single Let's Work, as it made him look old and wrinkled. He infuriated record company bosses as he demanded an ironed-out version to be done. So, using brighter lighting and more anti-wrinkle makeup, and then superimposing this onto the rest of the film, we have the current version, in which he still manages to look like an Indian rubber that has been out in the sun too long. So I guess he's still cross about it. He'd better get himself an oxygen tent and keep on taking the vitamin pills. I still haven't found anything remotely interesting to say about smooth young T-boy Rick Astley, still number one in the charts. Donny Osmond says he makes himself feel sick, and the Pet Shop Boys are to become the Pet Shop Boy. The eyes certainly have it for 6-year-old Matthew, who is set to rise up the charts with his dad and their song Hey Matthew, proving to all those has-beens that you have got to start young these days. Well, bye for now.
Bye, Hilly.
Jesse is a friend. Yeah, I know he's been a good friend of mine. But lately something's changed. It ain't hard to define. Jesse's got himself a girl and I wanna make her mine. And she's watching me with those eyes. And she's loving with that body. I just know it. And he's holding her in his arms late at night. The charade, there doesn't seem to be a reason to change. You know, I feel so dirty when they start talking cute. I wanna tell her that I love her, but the point is probably moot. Cause she's watching him with those eyes, and she's loving him with that body, I just know it. And he's holding her in his arms late, late at night. Where can I find a woman like
good luck as you wave me goodbye. Cheerio, here I go on my way. Wish me luck as you wave me goodbye. With a cheer, not a tear, make it gay. Give me a smile I can keep all the while in my heart while I'm away. Till we meet once again, you and I. Wish me luck as you wave me goodbye.
Wish me luck as you wave me goodbye. Cheerio, here I go on my way. Wish me luck as you wave me goodbye. With a cheer, not a tear, make it gay. Give me a smile I can keep all the while in my heart while I'm away. Shall we meet once again, you and I? Wish me luck as you wave me goodbye.
On this week's Intrepid Birdman Show, you heard the voice of Joe Jackson, Maria Vidal, ELO, Paul Hardcastle, Eric the Sheep, Brian Ferry, Kate Bush, The Beatles, Chris Dean, David Bowie, and Rick Springfield. The news was read by Busby Barclay and Alex Wright. The gossip provided by Hilly Dines, and incidental bleats were by Eric the Sheep. Terry Anderson is currently performing in What? No Trouser Press at the Savoy Hotel. All performances in this evening's repertoire were by kind permission of the RIS.
Give me a smile I can keep all the while in my heart while I'm away. Till we meet once again, you and I. Wish me luck as you wave me goodbye.
Say goodbye, Overtinis.
Spectacles, take them off first. If you're wearing a hat, take it off quickly but calmly. Remember to hold your breath. Push your face forward into it, pull the straps down over the head as far as possible, and then run your fingers down the rubber part.